Fred Burns worked out of a small room three stories beneath the ground in the sub-sub-basement of Excel's Graybox R&D downtown office. It took me 10 minutes to find someone in the building who even knew who he was, let alone could direct me to his office. I couldn't tell if this was because his work was vital and top secret, or because nobody cared. Burns himself was a doe-like man with bleached skin and big eyes that looked as if they'd burst if they were ever exposed to real sunlight. His office was a dank, cheerless place, lit by the pale blue glow of low-watt halogen bulbs. The workstation was filled with a dozen computers and just as many net screens, each monitoring various satellite and ground-based cameras. Plastic coffee cups and soda bottles in various stages of fill were scattered about the room, as were three or four empty pizza boxes on a table against the wall on the left. One half-filled box sat beside him by the computer, and he munched a piece as we spoke. At first, I thought it was odd for him to be eating pizza at 9 in the morning, but then I realized that for all he knew, it could be half past dinner time. I scared him when I entered. I guess he doesn't get much human contact down there, and he was hesitant to talk to me at first. That is, until we started talking about Ben Pierce. Then I had trouble shutting him up.
Pierce is brilliant when working within his scope of pure theory and design. His creativity with a chip was pure genius. Although personally, I think it masked some very dangerous emotional issues that should have been addressed.
Okay. But why do you think he suddenly left the project?
Probably because he would have been arrested if he'd hung around.
Well, I suppose there are worse reasons for flight. Arrested for what exactly?
We found out that Dr. Pierce was doing some unauthorized reprogramming to the BB2 android. Reprogramming which seriously jeopardized the entire project. My feeling is that his reckless actions are responsible for the problems that we're currently experiencing.
You mean the violent psychotic episodes?
No, the fact that we can't control those episodes. BB2 was built for many functions, as you know. Violence was definitely one of them, and that part of her programming has clearly survived.
Lucky us. What other functions was she built for?
There's combat, as you know, and stealth. Also, personal defense. She was, after all, going to be BB Star's personal bodyguard. And there were some recreational functions.
Recreational?
Let's just say that BS Star had a prurient interest in this project.
She was a sex toy.
I don't think toy is the most appropriate term for her functions, but sexual gratification was part of her original specs. Although I don't know what made it into her final programming once Dr. Pierce sabotaged the project.
BS Star spent a billion credits to build a nuclear-powered sex toy. Harv scrolled a message across the inside of my eyelids.
I think we just lost the kiddie audience.
Tell me about it.
Tell you about what?
Nothing. So, BS had the real flesh-and-blood BB as his wife, but he built a droid that looked exactly like her?
Yeah. Apparently, Miss Star was frigid. Go figure.
Burns picked up the pizza box.
You want a slice?
No, thanks. I had breakfast.
It's from Pizzaport. Best pizza on the planet. I'm having it analyzed so I can steal the recipe. You sure you don't want some?
I'm fine, thanks. So I understand that you actually worked on the BB2 project.
Oh, yes. Until I learned of his true motives, I was Pierce's right-hand man. I didn't actually work on the right hand, of course. Pierce was particularly fond of extremities, but you know what I mean.
Can you tell me a little bit about the design? Maybe a little about the droid itself?
She is the most advanced droid this world has ever seen, and the most remarkable human achievement I have ever beheld. Her movements are totally human in every distinguishable manner, yet at the same time they are grander and more divine. The grace of her simplest motion, a lilt, a gesture, is creation's own poetry. The gentle lift of curiosity or furrow of consternation, they bring tears to my eyes.
I'm sorry, her furrow of what now?
You know, when the eyebrow contracts and forms a slightly thicker ridge over the eyelid, it conveys deep concentration, thoughts unfathomable. The work we did with BB2 was simply unmatched.
You're talking about her eyebrows?
That was my area of concentration.
You programmed her eyebrows. The Headache Express was approaching the station.
The left one, actually. Pierce didn't like my preliminary work on the right. He was such a philistine when it came to the subtleties of the forehead.
And that's all you did. Her left eyebrow.
Two of the most artistically fulfilling years of my life.
And Pierce did everything else?
Oh, he was very auteur-like about the project. BS gave him direction and would occasionally review the design or amend the specs, but Pierce did the design, construction, and programming of BB-2 until he became too attached and jeopardized the project.
So, where is Pierce now? A series of images, maps, and data flashed onto the screens around the room.
I'm coordinating the various operatives that we have in the field that are currently following Dr. Pierce's elusive trail. The manhunter's gone on for 11 months now. It's been an intense and brutal endeavor, but it's clear that our prey is nearly cornered at last.
So you know where he is? A satellite photo of the Indian subcontinent appeared on the main screen and zoomed in to an island off the southeast corner.
My estimates currently put him somewhere in New Sri Lanka. We have these photos. This one from satellite, these from ground operatives, and this one from a tourist on a bus ride, all taken within the past 60 days. We've also logged a dozen sightings, three of them confirmed, all within a 25 square kilometer area of New Ratnapura. He's well hidden, but it's clear that he's somewhere in that area.
I stared closely at the man pictured in the various images. His build and his hair certainly resembled Pierce's, and although he'd grown a somewhat scraggly beard, the thick-rimmed eyeglasses seemed like a dead giveaway. What's your next step?
When we can pinpoint Pierce's location within an area of 3 square kilometers, we can send a search and retrieve team and have him back here in custody within an hour's time.
So you think you'll have him soon?
A few weeks now. A month at most. Dr. Pierce has given us a spirited hunt indeed, but as you can see, the fox shall soon fall prey to the hunter.
Tally-ho, and I left. Five minutes later, I was back in my car heading toward the office, Harv holographically sitting in the passenger seat beside me. I was doing the actual driving this time. Having my hands on the wheel and the open streets in front of me helps clear my head. And after my time with Burns, my head really needed clearing.
So now what, boss? Should I book us on the next teleport to New Sri Lanka?
Don't bother, Harv. Pierce isn't there.
But the satellite photos, the information from their operatives, the eyewitness accounts.
Can all be faked. 11 months of searching, and all the biggest corporation on Earth has to show for it is some blurry photos in 25 kilometers in Sri Lanka? It's clear they're looking in the wrong place.
But Burns said...
Burns programmed the eyebrows. It's like a first grader playing hide-and-seek with a college professor. Pierce has him totally fooled.
That does make sense.
You're agreeing with me?
I see the logic in your argument.
How very human of you, Harv.
I've conceded your point. There's no need to get insulting.
So this guy walks into a bar with 2 chunks of plutonium sewn under the shoulders of his shirt. Harv stared at me silently.
And?
What do you mean, and?
What happens next?
I've given you that line 100 times. You always yell at me and never let me finish.
Well, I'd like to hear the rest of it, just to see what I've been missing. So go on. What happens next?
There isn't any more.
What do you mean?
I haven't come up with the rest of it.
You mean it's not even a real joke?
Well, what's the point? You never let me get past the first line.
All this time, you've been baiting me with a joke that doesn't even exist.
Give me a minute. I can come up with something.
It's too late. The nano has passed.
No, really, I can do it. A guy walks into a bar with 2 chunks of plutonium on his shoulders.
I'm not listening.
Knock, knock.
Oh, please. Isn't there some enormously important task that you'd like me to perform?
Car, take the comm.
You got it.
I took my hands from the wheel. We're going to the office. Harv, scan the net records for everything on Ben Pierce in the past 3 years. News stories, vids, even text. I want anything that mentions him.
There are 13,582 references to or articles by Dr. Ben Pierce. Do you want to read them now, or should I download them to your bedside reader?
Neither. Scan them again, and disregard all scientific articles and references to his work. I want just personal stuff.
I have 4 references. A box score from the XL Company softball game where he struck out 3 times and was hit by a pitch. A donation of 10,000 credits to the Sons of Loving Mothers Fund. And 2 gossip items linking him romantically to Nova Powers.
Nova Powers? Why do I know that name?
She's a mutant, full-contact, non-fact pro wrestler.
Oh, yeah. The one in the purple spandex. What do they call her? The warrior woman?
Actually, it's Woman of War.
A promotional picture appeared on the car screen of Nova Powers in full wrestling regalia. She was a small woman, but well-toned, with lovely, sleek, wiry muscles. She had the face of an Asian model and the look of an angry Marine. Yeah, that's her. She's nice-looking.
She's a mutant, born on a space transport during a radiation storm. Conjecture is that it gave her superhuman powers.
I think I read that comic book.
She has superhuman strength, fast reflexes, and all that stuff that impresses you humans. She would be no match for BB-2, but she is the equal of any 10 normal humans.
And she's romantically linked to Pierce?
Powers' picture on the screen was replaced by a press photo of her and Pierce, arm in arm, entering a formal garden party.
They were seen together at this charity event 17 months ago. And again here, on vacation in New Oahu 3 months later. Note the semi-passionate embrace. There are no other mentions of them together, so my assumption is that their romance ended sometime after this picture was taken.
Maybe, or else they started keeping a lower profile. Something caught my eye, and I leaned a little closer to the screen. What's that on his arm? Can you enlarge that? Can you clean it up a little? I've compensated for the pixelation. The picture came into focus, and we saw that the dark smear on Pierce's arm was actually three letters. W-O-W. A tattoo.
It would appear so.
W-O-W. Woman of War?
That would be my assumption as well.
He had her nickname tattooed on his arm? Guess the romance was pretty serious. Looks like we should talk to Nova Powers. Harv, let's get her address and...
Whoa!
Suddenly, the car lurched forward and made a violent right turn. I grabbed the passenger seat to steady myself.
Car, you made a wrong turn.
That's correct.
I wanted to go to my office.
That's correct.
I felt the engine surge as the computer opened the throttle to the max. I was starting to get a bad feeling about this.
Why did you just speed up?
I need to attain sufficient velocity in order to kill you when I crash.
That would explain it. Harv, can you override the car computer? Harv's hologram popped into the passenger seat beside me.
I've made 986 attempts already, unfortunately, to no avail. Whoever or whatever is controlling the vehicle computer is very good at what they do.
Swell. It's nice to know my murder will be state-of-the-art.
I pulled at the door handle, but it was locked, of course. I put my shoulder to the door, but it held firmly. The car made a quick left turn on two wheels.
This is not good. I calculate that the car is heading for the only dead end left in New Frisco.
I flicked my wrist and popped my gun into my hand.
Okay, I'll shoot my way out. No, wait. The car's weaponproof.
Randy had equipped the car with the best defense systems available. Unfortunately, those systems now had me trapped inside. I looked through the windshield and, true to Harv's calculations, we were heading straight for the historic brick wall, the only one to survive the Great Quake of 2037, at breakneck, not to mention arms, legs, and everything else, speed. There wasn't much time left.
Harv, I'll have to break the door open. On my mark, left arm to the max. Okay, one, two,
boss, wait.
Now! Ow! Just for the record, Harv, that part when I yelled now was your cue to juice me up.
I tried to warn you. Something is preventing me from remotely linking with the circuits of your armor. My guess is that whoever is controlling the car is responsible.
Brilliant deduction there, Holmes.
I tossed open the glove compartment and pulled out an interface wire from the emergency kit.
What exactly was your first clue?
There is no tangible evidence, of course, but it is highly unlikely that two separate entities would choose this particular time.
Sarcasm, Harv. It's called sarcasm. Okay. I'm going to give you a hardwire link to the car controls. You'll have to fight the car computer for control.
I pried open the dashboard screen. Beneath it, among other things, was a row of emergency comm ports. I plugged one end of the interface wire into the center port and stuck the other end into my wrist interface.
Go!
Harv forced his way through the hardwire connection and into the car computer.
I can't stop the car, but I can unlock the door. You'll just have to break it open.
Do it! Before this dead end lives up to its name!
I could feel the brick wall approaching, like the cold, hard backhand slap of the great beyond. Then I heard Harv from somewhere deep inside my head.
Hit it now, boss!
I juiced up my shoulder as much as I could and hit the car door. This time, the weakened door popped open and I dove out, hitting the pavement like I'm flying on a truck windshield. I rolled about 30 meters, my armor sparking all the way as its circuits were pushed to the limit, flipped over the curb, and slammed into a row of dumpsters outside a Middle Eastern restaurant. I came to rest in an explosive shower of day-old baba ganoush and spoiled tabbouleh. The orange and black fireball would have been very cool to watch if, of course, it hadn't been my car. Make that X car. Burning at the center. I watched the burning bits of charred automobile drift gently to the street like hell's best snowflakes. Then, with my armor still sparking, I slowly sat up and began picking the fatouche out of my hair.
I really liked that car.
Harv projected from my wrist interface and sat next to me on the curb.
Apparently, the feeling was not mutual.
What do you think made it do that?
Well, you are a pretty lousy driver. However, if it were out for revenge, I would think that it would have simply run you over rather than gone the murder-suicide route.
I'm serious, Harv.
Quite honestly, it serves you right for using a vehicle with such an outdated computer. Those relics are highly susceptible to outside control.
What about blocking you from remotely accessing the car, or my armor?
That's a little trickier.
A police bot, blue lights flashing, hovered up to the scene and landed just then, with the firefighting robotic unit following closely behind. The human interfacing portion of the police bot removed itself from its vehicle and slowly made its way toward me with just a hint of swagger to its gait. I had a feeling that this was going to be one story it had never heard before. It took some quick thinking, some fast talking, and an instant link to Tony Ricky at NFPD to convince the police bot that I wasn't crazy and or a menace to society, and that it was indeed possible that my car had tried to kill me. So the bot, with the complete backing of its superiors, let me go with only a warning for high-concept incendiary littering, as long as I agreed to pay for the cleanup. Which I did.
Should I net you some public transportation?
Nah, I think I'll walk to the office. I could use the exercise.
As you wish.
Did you change your voice modulation? You sound a little different.
My voice modulation hasn't changed, but if you listen a little more closely, you'll realize that I'm not actually using my voice.
What do you mean? I forgot that Harv dissolved his hologram during my conversation with the police bot, and hadn't yet reappeared. I glanced out of reflex at my wrist interface, and I realized that we'd had another breakthrough. You're talking inside my head.
It happened as you were jumping from the car. We were both concentrating so precisely on one another's audio cues, we didn't notice that the cues I was giving were mental rather than actual audio.
So no one else can hear you right now?
That's correct. To any passerby, you would appear to be a deranged street person listening to the voices in your head, which is actually...
Don't go there, Harv. Wait a minute. If our cues are now mental, then do I need to keep talking?
Theoretically, you shouldn't. Why don't you try thinking something at me rather than speaking it?
I wrinkled my brow and thought very hard.
I need some coffee.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
I need some coffee.
I'm still not getting anything. Are you sure you're thinking?
What kind of question is that?
I'm just not receiving any messages. Perhaps you need to work on your level of concentration.
Perhaps you need to get your hearing checked.
The hearing has nothing to do with it. It's a matter of broadcasting and receiving thoughts. And it appears that you need to vocalize your thoughts in order to properly focus them for the purpose of transmitting through the interface. Don't take this the wrong way, boss, but I think you need to practice your thinking.
How could anyone take that the wrong way? Let's just get to the office.
Good idea. For some strange reason, I have a desire for coffee.
I smiled. This could be fun after all. Carol was hard at work in the reception area, doing her particle physics homework, I think. And thankfully, the coffee was still warm. I lumbered over to the maker and poured myself a cup without saying a word. Carol didn't look up.
Hola, tío. Did you sleep late or something?
My car tried to kill me.
Fine, don't tell me.
Then she stared at me the way sci folks do when they're reading your mind.
You're telling the truth.
I'm going to my office to clean up a bit. After that, can I borrow your hover?
But you hate hovers. I will remind you, tío, that this hovercraft is vitally important to me. You know mass transit gives me headaches.
She meant this literally, by the way. It takes a lot of concentration for a Psi to screen out the morass of commuter thoughts on an average bus or train ride, and they end up paying the price afterwards. She reluctantly tossed me the ignition chip as I headed to the office.
I'll be careful. Any word from Electra?
She called to say she hates you.
It's a start.
After a quick change of clothes, I was out of the office and in Carol's hover. I got as comfortable as I could, considering my apprehension about hovers, and the fact that this particular hover desperately needed new seats. I carefully slid the ignition chip into the CPU, and the hover blinked on.
Harv, take the comm.
With pleasure.
Harv's digital face popped into a small computer window on the dash.
Carol has given me access to override the hover's computer. She's much better about that than you. What exactly is our destination?
Before my little car trouble, you mentioned Nova Powers. Do you know where we can find her now?
There were recent reports of her destroying a pair of press bots at the Regenerative Exercise Lounge and Plastic Surgery Emporium.
Ah, yes. Relapse.
The press bots were apparently attempting to video her in a shower. And after examining photos of the remnants of those press bots, I must say that there most certainly are places where cameras should not go or be shoved, if you get my data flow.
I get it.
I then pause to remove the mental image from my mind.
Okay, take me to relapse. Medium speed, 3 meters high.
3 meters? This hover is rated for up to 300.
Well, I'm rated up to 3, so keep it at that.
Fine. We'll make the trip via the Old Lady and Acrophobe Expressway.
We lift it off the ground. And don't speed. Keep it to 155.
Ah, yes. Life in the slow lane. I assume you feel Miss Powers knows the whereabouts of Dr. Pierce?
Other than Pizza Face Burns and his small section of New Sri Lanka, she's our only lead, so we don't have much choice.
My thoughts exactly.
And again, this whole Pierce thing may just be subterfuge concocted to get me to think too much.
I sincerely doubt that you will fall into that trap.
Right. Hey!
Relapse is the hottest of the new breed of health club. It's not just a fitness center, it's a lifestyle choice. The emphasis is not just on physical fitness, but on overall appearance and attitude. Fitness center, hair salons, skin treatments, psychoanalysis, and plastic surgery. Their slogan is, just do it, or have it done. The first two floors of Relapse were a lot like the outside. Glitz and glam, and no real exertion to speak of. The clientele worked out on a wide array of the most fashionable gravity control weights and hollow sim workout machines, but it was more for show than fitness. I saw a dozen or so HV stars posing for the Relapse-employed paparazzi in front of the machines, with their workouts actually being supervised by their press agents. A couple even had their makeup people with them. I was three floors down in the sub-sub-basement before I found the real workout area, and this was hardcore stuff. It was one great open space filled with lifting areas and sparring rings. The lifting areas were filled with a few kilotons of old-fashioned free weights and reverse gravity weights, along with many of the newfangled fitness droids that have become all the rage among the serious weightlifting crowd. These are hard-looking gray-faced droids designed specifically to help lifters get the most out of their workouts by pushing them, emotionally and physically, to their limits through boisterous, intense vocal encouragement.
Don't walk away from me, you carbon refuse! Give me another 20 reps!
You call that a workout? If you were a droid, you'd be lucky to be a toothbrush!
You weak-willed, puny human! I should rip your insignificant body into kindling and let it fuel the furnace of the omnipotent god machine! Maybe that will give your feeble existence a modicum of purpose!
Do you see Nova anywhere? A cursor appeared before my eyes and scanned the area until it locked onto a woman standing in the middle of a boxing ring across the room. The cursor flashed bright red. A simple yes would have sufficed.
True, but this is way more cool.
Nova was even more beautiful in person than in hologram. Her self-confidence and strength were clearly evident in the way she moved about the ring, stretching her wiry muscles in preparation for a sparring session. Her demeanor was cat-like, and her delicate Asian features were somehow simultaneously alluring and fearsome.
She's attractive, and clearly in good shape, but she doesn't look that tough.
Her physical stature is deceiving.
I walked over to Nova's sparring session, where she was taking on three opponents. Nova turned toward me and flashed a surprisingly warm smile.
Well, 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 if it isn't Zachary Nixon Johnson.
If it isn't, then I'm wearing the wrong underwear. I watched the medbots carrying her sparring partners away. Nova walked to the edge of the ring, leaned seductively through the ropes, and smiled again.
Did your writers come up with that?
First of all, I don't use writers. Second, that is, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a question or two.
I don't mind questions, but I hate giving answers.
That sort of defeats the purpose, then.
Are they important questions?
Maybe.
Good.
Nova casually lifted me over the ropes and set me down beside her in the ring.
I'll make you a deal, Mr. Johnson. I'll answer whatever questions you have, but I'll do it in the ring. Think you can last 2 minutes a full spar with me?
Gee, Nova, I'd love to, but I have this strict policy about not fighting women. It's bad for the good guy image if I win, and bad for the macho image if I lose. She ignored me as she removed the computer interface from my wrist.
You'll time 2 minutes for us, won't you, computer?
It will be my pleasure. This would be quite illustrative of a point I was making earlier. Mr. Johnson was assessing your fighting prowess thusly.
She doesn't look that tough.
What I meant was...
On second thought, let's make it 3 minutes.
Nova placed the wrist interface gently on the turnbuckle. Thanks a lot, Harv. Harv was inside my head now.
Trust me,
She'll speak more freely if she's angry.
Now, Mr. Johnson.
Please, call me Zack.
And you can call me Nova.
She smiled and slowly walked toward me.
I understand that you're an expert in all major forms of the martial arts.
Actually, no. That's just PR that my agent created. I prefer to think my way out of trouble.
That's too bad.
Tell me when I should begin timing.
How about 2.5 minutes ago? Nova smiled, and then began our brutal ballet with a right cross.
Whoa!
The punch was a probing one at half speed. She was feeling me out, ascertaining my style. In this case, my style was to duck and run. Her first punch had been a feint, and as I twisted away from her right, I nearly fell headlong into her lightning-quick left jab.
Whoa!
I ducked at the last nano, and her fist sailed over my head. So far, so good. So, tell me about you and Dr. Benjamin Pierce. Nova responded to the question with an angry right-fisted uppercut to my chin, which made me think that her feelings about Pierce weren't exactly the warm and fuzzy kind. I flew across the ring and into the ropes, bouncing up and down on them like a bobblehead doll in a centrifuge.
Ben Pierce, why do you ask?
Against my better judgment, I staggered to my feet and shook the stars off. He won the door prize at the opening of the new Macy Mart. I'm trying to deliver his new hypersonic toothbrush.
I'll warn you now, Zack. Talking about Ben brings out the worst in me.
So I noticed. I take it then that it's true that the two of you were romantically involved? She spun around like a ballet dancer and whipsawed my legs out from under me, taking me down hard to the mat.
We were hot and heavy for a long time, as you might have guessed. It was your classic opposites attract kind of thing.
I flipped to my feet, pretty smoothly, I thought, and went into my best defensive position, ready for anything. It must have been pretty serious for him to tattoo your WOW trademark on his arm. I didn't even see the punch. At least I think it was a punch that rocked my head back.
I thought so too. To tell you the truth, I was in love. I thought he was too, the rat bastard slime!
She hooked her arm under mine and tossed me over her shoulder and down hard onto the mat. I take it he ended the relationship?
Yes, he did. And thank you so much for reminding me.
She flipped me and slammed me to the mat again. I knew this was going to be emotionally painful for her, not to mention physically painful for me, but I had to ask.
Did he leave you for another woman?
Well, he was in love with BB Star.
BB Star?
Oh, yeah, he had it bad for her big time. Falling in love with your boss's wife. Very wise career move, Ben.
Did he and BB actually have an affair?
Not that I know of. I understand BB's frigid.
She let go of me, stood up, and turned away. I tried to do the same, but she spun around from behind and somersaulted in the air. She wrapped her legs around my head and brought me back down to the mat again.
You know what he used to do? He used to make me wear a blonde wig and pretend to be BB for him. Oh, yes, Ben. I'm BB Star. I just love intelligent men.
She flexed her thighs, tightening her hold on my head and neck.
By the way, I call this my pleasure and pain move. I put a little pressure on your neck here, cut off the blood and air to your brain, and you're sleeping like a baby. I understand that the dreams are quite pleasant.
Under different circumstances, this might not have been so bad. But this was the second time in 2 days that someone had tried closing off my airway, and I didn't want this to become a habit. Thankfully, Harv was still in my head.
Shock her! Shock her! Mumble twice if by that you mean that you would like me to utilize the power supply of your body armor to create a concentrated electrical burst strong enough to cause Miss Powers discomfort.
In retrospect, I realize now that Ben and I were destined to end badly. He was emotionally immature and had some hefty family issues that he was displacing. I've never seen a bigger mama's boy.
All set, boss. I suggest, however, that you bite Miss Powers simultaneously as I shock her, in order to cover up the fact that you're cheating.
Frankly, when you're being suffocated, I don't think any transgression counts as cheating, but I didn't have the time or the air to debate the point with Harv.
Personally, I think I've made a lot of progress in putting this behind me. I've been able to channel my anger into a very positive direction. I use it in my wrestling, so it's helped my career a lot. I think that shows a level of maturity that Ben just doesn't have yet, the rat bastard slime.
On my mark now. Ready? But
I chomped down on Nova's thigh and felt Harv shoot a charge of my armor's electricity into her through my teeth.
Ow!
My molars tingled a bit from the electrical backlash, and I think I lost a filling, but Nova clearly got the bulk of the charge.
Did you just bite me?
She loosened her leg lock just enough for me to wriggle free. I squeezed out and got to my feet with the aid of one of the ropes. Nova got up and slowly pursued me. rubbing her leg as she moved.
I was on the verge of a breakthrough there.
I thought we were sparring. She lashed out at me with the speed of a viper on caffeine, grabbed me with her left arm, and pushed me hard into the turnbuckle.
You men are all alike. Everything always has to be a competition. Why are you so afraid of communicating?
I'm the one who wanted to talk.
Oh, that is just like a man, always displacing the blame.
She rolled the fingers of her right hand into a fist, and the live muscles in her arm tensed like a pound of plastique with a lit fuse.
Time is up, and a hearty congratulations to you, Miss Powers. I feel as though you've made some real emotional progress during this session.
Nova released me from the turnbuckle.
Do you really think so?
Absolutely. It takes great strength to talk about your emotions so openly.
Don't I know it? But just try finding a man who appreciates that.
That wall of machismo. A cheap facade to hide their insecurities.
Ha, you can say that again.
Nova lifted the interface from the turnbuckle and turned towards me.
You know, Zach, you could learn a few things about emotional maturity from this computer.
Yeah, he's very in touch with himself. I took the interface from her and reattached it to my wrist. Nova and I climbed out of the ring and back to the relative safety of the gym floor.
One last thing about Pierce. When was the last time that you saw him?
A little over a year ago. He told me that things weren't working out and that it was best that we go our own ways.
You know, he's missing now. No one's seen him in nearly a year.
And you're looking for him?
That's right.
Good luck, then. If Ben wants to stay hidden, you're not gonna find him. He's very good at what he does.
So am I.
Ben's in some sort of deadly trouble, I hope.
Too soon to tell, but I'll let you know.
Well, when you see him, tell him I said hello.
I will. I smiled and turned away again.
No, wait. Tell him you saw me and that I looked great and seemed happy.
Okay.
And tell him that I had four gorgeous guys on my arm.
Got it.
No, wait. Just tell him I said hello.
We're never getting out of here.
Thirty minutes later, Harv and I were back in the hovercraft headed towards the office. Harv was at the controls while I contacted my employer. BB's face appeared on the computer screen.
Have you found the droid?
Not much for small talk, are you, BB?
I assume by your flippant tone that the answer to my question is no.
Sorry, but it's going to take me more than 12 hours to find your superpowered android. In the meantime, here's a question for you. How well did you know Ben Pierce?
He was my employee. He designed the BB-2 android.
I understand that, but how well did you know him?
I did not know what you mean.
Did you know that he was in love with you?
What? Where did you hear such a thing?
Forget where I heard it. Did you know it?
No, I had no idea. I hardly knew Dr. Pierce at all, certainly not on a social level. Where on earth did you hear such a thing?
From a source of dubious reliability. I'm sorry if I bothered you.
No bother at all, Zach. Your mission is of the utmost importance to me, and I want to help you in any way that I can.
I understand, BB. I won't let you down.
Thank you, Zach.
I turned back to the computer screen and flipped through the photos of Pierce. Well, she's lying.
What?
She knows Pierce better than she's letting on. She's hiding something.
Do you think they were romantically involved?
I pointed at the photo of Pierce that was currently on the screen. A photo of him and Nova embracing on the beach. Look at him. Does he look like the kind of man who could have affairs with Nova Powers and BB Star at the same time? No. They weren't romantically involved. There's something that BB's not telling us. The hovercraft hit some mild turbulence and gently shook for a nano, then rose a bit higher on the lonely skyway. Not too high, Harv. Whoa! The hover lurched again, this time violently. It took a sharp turn off the skyway and continued to rise.
Harv, I think we're over the height that I requested.
Yes, we are.
Then please lower the craft.
I'm trying, but the craft isn't responding.
What do you mean it's not responding?
Well, technically it is responding, only in a manner that is inconsistent with my instruction.
The whole point of my letting you drive was because you were supposedly invulnerable to outside control.
That's true. However, although I may be invulnerable to such attacks, it is apparently very possible to bypass me and take direct control of the hovercraft, which is what is happening here. Actually, it's quite an impressive display of remote rerouting and reprogramming.
Can you override it?
Eventually.
Eventually?
I estimate the task will take me approximately 10 minutes.
You realize, of course, that we probably don't have that much time?
I am assuming that question is of a rhetorical nature.
How high are we now?
I'm being overridden, so I don't have access to any of the pertinent data. Look over the side, and I'll make an estimate.
I looked over the side so that Harv could get a good view of the ground through the lens in my eye.
Wow, we're way up there.
brilliant.
We are currently at an altitude of 350 meters and climbing.
Nice of you to join us. So, what's the plan here, computer?
We are climbing to an altitude of 600 meters.
And then?
At that point, I will cut all power to the gyros and we will begin a rapid descent, culminating in a fiery impact upon the ground below.
I guess I could have seen that one coming.
Do not worry. The crash will take place in that nearby park in order to minimize collateral civilian casualties.
That means a lot to me, but forgive me if I don't sit still for this. Harv, the navigation chip for this hover's computer, where's it located?
Why?
Just tell me!
The chip that controls the navigation is a tenth of a centimeter in diameter and is located 3 centimeters directly below the dash, parallel with the control column.
Thanks, and I'm sorry for shouting at you.
I understand. Most people are adversely affected emotionally by the fast approach of imminent death. But I repeat my previous question. Why, boss?
I popped my gun into my hand. If we can't control this thing, then nobody will. I pushed the seat back and aimed at the driver's column. The navigational computer exploded and the hover lurched again. And then started to plummet toward the Earth. I dove forward and grabbed the steering column.
Well, you have succeeded in destroying the navigational computer.
Thanks. Your approval means a lot. I struggled in vain to get some control of the falling craft.
Though, if the truth be known, I don't really see how this helps.
At least now we're in control of our own destinies. We'll be fine so long as we survive the fall.
What do you mean, we? I'm a projected image created from a CPU located many kilometers away from here. I'll survive. You, on the other hand.
I'm gonna survive, too. I just have to learn how to pilot a free-falling hovercraft in the next 30 seconds.
You certainly are optimistic. I always like that about you. I think I shall miss that the most of all.
Shut up, Harv. You're ruining the moment. I held tight to the control stick and tried to pull the hover out of the dive, but without the computer to modulate, it was like trying to play piano while wearing boxing gloves. I moved the stick gently to the left and managed to lessen the angle of descent and put the dying hover's trajectory in line with the park's duck pond. Unfortunately, I also put the craft into a barrel roll.
Oh, this is much better. Nothing like a little centrifugal force to lessen the agony of a fatal impact.
Okay, here's the plan. I'm gonna bail out when we get over the pond. Hopefully I've slowed this heat down just enough so that I can survive a water landing.
If I may, boss, I think I have a better idea.
I'm open to suggestions.
Our new interface will allow me to manipulate your body's naturally occurring electromagnetic energy.
And that's a good thing?
In this case, yes. I should be able to increase the energy, focus it through your body armor, and reverse the magnetic force.
You mean, build me a force field?
Exactly.
You can do that with the new interface?
I can see no reason why not.
Good enough. I put my finger on the emergency release button. Let's go! I ejected from the spinning, plummeting craft at a height of 25 meters and at a speed that I didn't want to think about and began my head-over-heels free fall toward the water. The late afternoon breeze hit my face like a chilly razor, and I knew then that the impact, water or no, would splatter me like a ripe grape in a wine press. Then, I felt a laser-hot surge run through my body from my head to my feet and back again. My teeth chattered, my fingers began to shake uncontrollably, and I felt the hairs on my arms start to sizzle and burn. Harv was making me electric.
This better work, Harv!
Shut up, boss. You're ruining the moment.
I tucked my body into a cannonball position and hit the duck pond like a meteor. First, skimming across the surface like a stone, then hitting full on. Walls of water rose 10 meters in the air from the force of impact, like atomic mushroom clouds, then crashed down on me as I sank beneath the waves. And as the water covered me, I was too weak to even keep my eyes open, let alone fight my way to the surface. It was early evening when I awoke. The sun was just going down over the new Frisco skyline, and its red and orange light made the pond glow like burning embers under glass. I was soaked to the skin and lying face up in the mud, two medbots beside me scanning my body for injuries. I caught a glimpse of pale skin as something moved past me on the right, and I tried to turn and follow it, but my body didn't respond.
Don't try to move, Zach. The medbots have you in a stasis field until they rule out any spinal injuries.
Randy?
Harv sent me a warning that you were going down. I got here just in time.
You fished me out of the water?
I managed to digitally record your crash from 4 different angles. It was amazing, Zach. The spray of water when you hit the pond will look spectacular in super slow-mo, and the sparks from your armor shorting out as you went underwater? Simply breathtaking.
But then you fished me out of the water, right?
Actually, I was on the cell net with my corporate backers by then. I had a droid pull you to shore.
Thanks a gig.
Harv?
I'm here, boss.
Good job.
Yes, well, this isn't your granddaddy's interface.
Randy looked at the readouts from the body scan done by the medbots.
Well, it looks like you're clear. No internal injuries, no broken bones, just some very severe bruises and a mild concussion.
He nodded to the medbots, and they deactivated the stasis field. I started to sit up, but it was painful to move.
I have to warn you, you're going to be very tired for the next 12 hours or so. Harv sapped a lot of your body's energy in order to generate enough electricity to shield you. It's going to take some time for you to regain that.
It was worth it. As bad as I feel, I'm a lot better off than the hover. Oh, no. Where's Carol's hover?
Most of it's over there.
She's gonna kill me.
Easy, boss.
I rose to my knees and looked about. Sure enough, Carol's hovercraft lay upside down in the tall grass, 100 meters away. She's gonna fry my brain and make me think I'm a duck.
Boss, slow down. We'll get her a new hover. She understands these things happen, especially to you.
I looked around to see if there was anything worth salvaging.
She's gonna kill me.
I think you're fixating here just a little, boss.
The hull looked like an old accordion, crumpled and torn from front to rear. It was a total wreck. Then I noticed a dim glow emanating from inside the hull. I dropped to my knees to get a closer look.
Look, Harv. The computer still works. Maybe we can...
Then I saw it, and everything changed.
Huh. It's not wow.
Boss, I think we should have the medbots check you again for that concussion.
I tried to pry my way into the hovercraft hull for a closer look at the screen, but I already knew what was there. It was the picture of Pierce and Nova embracing on the beach. But this time I saw it upside down, and I saw the tattoo on Pierce's arm in a whole new light. It wasn't in honor of Nova Powers. It wasn't Woman of War. And Nova's words echoed in my mind.
I've never seen a bigger mama's boy.
The tattoo had been created specifically so only Pierce himself could read it. I knew that now. And I knew what it said. It's Mom.
Pierce is with his mother. That's where we'll find him.
It was morning now. I'd been home and in bed for 12 hours and had slept solidly for 10 of them. I was still very weak, and my muscles didn't want to do much of anything other than remain motionless in bed, but I'd been reassured that my body was replenishing its energy and that I should be somewhat back to normal within the next day. I was also told that Elektra had come to the house and examined me during the night, just to make certain that I was okay. No doubt she wanted to ensure that I was healthy for when she would return at some later day to kick my ass, but even so, I was happy to hear that she'd come.
You heard what Nova said about Pierce. He was a mama's boy. He had family issues, all of that. I tell you, that tattoo isn't for Nova, it's for his mother.
But it's upside down.
Not the way he looks at it. He lifts his arm and he sees Mom. It's all crystal clear, Harv. Pierce wants his mommy.
Whatever you say, boss.
He's not in Sri Lanka, he's not on the moon. We find his mother, we find Pierce.
Let's pretend for a nano that although I didn't take your theory seriously, I did some searching last night while you were sleeping off your near-death experience, just to humor you.
Okay, let's say that.
And suppose that I found irrefutable proof that your theory is baseless. Would this convince you to surrender this Oedipal quest?
Wow, that depends.
Upon what?
On what Oedipal means for one, and the exact nature of the irrefutable proof for another.
Harv flashed a picture of an elderly woman on the wall screen.
April Pierce, mother of Dr. Benjamin J. Pierce, age 122. Current residence, plot 567 in Beverly Hills Eternal Estates, 6 feet under.
She's dead?
No, boss. She's a mushroom farmer.
When did she die?
14 months ago. Cause of death? Respiratory failure brought on by pneumonia.
Was it suspicious?
She was 122.
Are you sure it's really her?
DNA tests are conclusive. I checked with the computer at the medical examiner's office and saw the tissue samples myself.
14 months ago? That's just before Pierce broke up with Nova. Just before the BB2 project went crazy and just before he disappeared.
You think her death pushed him over the edge?
I have a feeling that Pierce was over the edge well before his mother died. But I think her death spurred him to action.
So where do we go from here?
It's like I told you, Harv, we find Pierce's mother.
Boss, I'm going to assume that your short-term memory was a casualty of last night's traumatic experience. So I'm going to repeat, very calmly I might add, that Dr. Pierce's mother is dead. She's kicked the coffee cup. She's pushing up daisies. She's shuffled off her mortal interface. She's riding the Ethernet of the next world. I can say it in over 150 different languages if you like, but no matter how I say it, she's still D-E-A-D dead. Dead, dead, dead.
That'll just make finding her a little more difficult.
What?
Come on. Pierce is supposedly one of the greatest minds on the planet, right? He's not going to let a little thing like death stop him from patching things up with his mother. He'd have a backup somewhere.
You mean a clone? But that's illegal.
So's building nuclear-powered killer androids. We need to find the clone of Mother Pierce.
Fine. Where do you want to start?
Well, since I'm not likely to be going anywhere for a while, let's start right here. Patch yourself into the Excel computer and let's do some old-fashioned digging.
A few words about human cloning. It doesn't work. The world, fueled by the zeal of the scientific community, once embraced the cloning concept. The first, somewhat successful cloning experiments early in the century captured the public's imagination, and it actually culminated in a short-lived but memorable cloning craze 20 years ago. I have met clones. I have spoken with clones. I even dated a clone once. It was during my experimental period in college. And all I can say is that when it comes to cloning humans, New Coke was a better idea. Why? Two words. The mind. The body, brain and all, is the easy part. A little DNA, the right equipment, and we can grow it in a big test tube. We can keep it on the sun porch beside the geranium for warmth and decorate it for the holidays. The mind, however, is an entirely different ball of earwax. With all our advanced technology, we still don't understand how the mind works. The complicated mixture of memory and original thought, fueled by emotion, instinct, and personality that makes every living person a unique individual, cannot be drawn on a schematic map of lobes and hemispheres. A lot of the greatest scientists in the world today can't even make small talk at a cocktail party, let alone identify and recreate the subtleties and nuances of the human personality. Be that as it may, the scientific community made valiant efforts to map, catalog, and then recreate the human mind. The mind, however, simply proved too complex for them. By misplacing a few neurons or misdirecting a few intracranial connections, early researchers discovered, all too painfully, that there really is a thin line between love and hate. Also between genius and psychosis, confidence and megalomania, progressive rock and disco. The cloning craze eventually led to what is now dramatically referred to as the Clone Wars. In retrospect, the whole thing was really more silly and contrived than monumental. But it made a mess of a lot of things, including national governments, the world economy, and the collector's market for action figures. The World Council finally outlawed all cloning of humans 10 years ago, and no one, save for the scientific community, has thought about it much since then. The fact that Pierce might have cloned his own mother made me realize that he was quite probably insane. The fact that this insane, brilliant man also designed and created the powerful android for which I was now searching made me want to lock my doors and stay in bed just a little longer. Harv and I spent the next hour hacking into the R&D database of the Excel computer. Actually, it was Harv who did most of the work. I mostly watched sports highlights from the night before.
By the way, since Miss Starr has granted us full access to the Excel computer, I fail to see the point in wasting our time hacking in through the back door.
I don't want Excel to know what we're looking for just yet. I still think Pierce is in Sri Lanka, remember? Also, I want to make sure that you're keeping your hacking skills sharp. I understand that Excel's defenses are pretty tough.
Oh, please. I could get past these defenses with a 486 and a blind homing pigeon.
Nice metaphor.
I've been thinking about writing the great cybernetic novel. We're in.
A list of files, thousands long, scrolled across the wall screen.
These are the files from the Excel R&D department. Now, just what is it that we're looking for?
Anything that looks like Pierce's mother. Her memories, her personality, her mental skills. All of that would have to have been digitally translated and stored. I'm sure he used Excel equipment.
You think Pierce used an illegal cloning house to grow the body?
Maybe he bribed one of the better animal houses into doing a special job under the table. Who knows? Maybe he did it himself in his basement. I'm hoping that there's some evidence of data transfer here. Let's see Pierce's files.
The list of Pierce's files appeared. Again, there were thousands of them.
Which one do you want to open first?
I stared at the screen closely and looked at the long column of Pierce's name down the side.
Wait a second, forget about these. Show me everything except Pierce's files. He wouldn't do this under his own name.
Pierce's name disappeared from the left-hand column, replaced by a myriad of others. Excel's R&D department employed thousands of people around the world. All of them had at least some files in the database.
With which part of the virtual haystack would you like to begin?
Go through the list of names. Find anything funny.
Define funny.
Pierce would use an alias. He's big-headed enough to use something sly. Tom Clone, Dick Copy, Harry Mother, that kind of thing.
Harry Mother?
Just find me the funny names.
One Harry Mother coming right up.
It took Harv a little longer than I thought it would to put together the list of names, maybe 3 or 4 minutes. But I figured that he had some trouble making the subjective call when it came to the definition of funny.
How about Harry Johnson?
Pierce may not be the most creative guy in the world, but he's not 12. He wouldn't use anything that juvenile. Same thing with Seymour Heine and that hyphenated name, Alice Diarrhea.
Michael Hunt as well?
Definitely.
How about Dick Sweat?
Harv.
Forgive me, boss, but it is a pretty broad category.
I know. It's just one of those things where I'll know it when I see it. Huh. Jack Ash is no good. Adam Appleton is silly, but not right. Fu Q is just a very unfortunate cultural coincidence.
Just think about his poor son, Fu Q 2.
Lisa Carr.
I'd rather buy.
Wanna pee.
I went before we left the house.
Jaime Payne.
I'll say.
Harv!
You know, I'm starting to enjoy this.
This isn't working. Let's go back to the main list. What's that file right below I'm a pig?
Einstein A.
Einstein A? As in Albert Einstein?
So it would seem.
Why didn't you flag that as funny?
What's funny about it?
It's an odd name.
You didn't ask for odd, you asked for funny.
But odd is funny.
No, odd is odd. Funny is funny.
Look, there's funny ha-ha and there's funny odd. I wanted them both.
You didn't specify that you wanted funny odd. You just said funny, which implies only funny ha-ha.
Why would I want funny ha-ha and not funny odd?
Why would you want funny odd in the first place?
Because odd is funny!
Well, it is if your face turns purple when you say it.
Just open up the Einstein file.
Interesting. The file is encrypted with a logarithmic key. Difficult to open.
Can you break it?
Already done.
The file opened, and a three-dimensional computer schematic of a human brain unfolded on the screen.
Now that is odd.
The brain template gently rotated before us on the screen, showing us in glorious detail the soul-scient fissures that every human brain has, but are still unique to each. The template was broken down into sections, mostly by the lobes in the hemispheres. The insides of most of these sections were blank, but the right frontal lobe pulsated with millions of connected dots of light.
Hello, Mother Pierce.
It appears to be a topographical map of the brain. Nice find.
It's a start.
Well, if nothing else, we've proven that Dr. Pierce certainly holds himself in high opinion. There aren't many scientists who would use Einstein as a pen name.
That's it, Harv. Flag that file and go back to the list.
Harv did as he was told, intrigued by my thinking, which was kind of odd unto itself.
Scroll down now into the G's.
Harv scrolled through the names, and I found what I was looking for.
There. Galileo. G. Open that one.
It's locked with a variation of the same encryption key as the Einstein file. Not so hard to crack the second time around.
Harv opened the file, and a three-dimensional blueprint of a human left frontal lobe appeared on the screen, next to the spinning brain template. Again, every detail was carefully mapped. Every neuron was supposedly accounted for.
This looks like it will fit very nicely into the template.
With those words, the spinning left frontal lobe snapped neatly into place adjacent to the right. We now had two pieces complete in the brain jigsaw puzzle.
The frontal lobes govern most executive functions. Mother Pierce is coming into focus.
Okay, go back to the list and find every file with a physicist name attached and locked with that same encryption code. Tesla, Archimedes, Hamilton, everyone.
Now, when you say physicist, do you mean physicist ha-ha or physicist odd?
Don't start with me, Harv.
A few minutes later, we had found 8 more files. One for each hemisphere of each lobe of the brain, one for the hippocampal system, and one which appeared to be for miscellaneous minor brain areas. We had unlocked the computer blueprint for building Mother Pierce's brain.
So now that we've found her, how do we actually find her? You don't know, do you?
Give me a minute. We're missing something here. Ampere, Archimedes, Bohr, Born, Broglie, Einstein, Galileo, Hawking, Ohm. Bingo.
Bingo. I don't recall that one. What was his specialty in the field?
Dump out of the Excel system, Harv. I know where she is.
Just where is it that we're going?
To pay a visit to Mother Pierce and her dear son, Dr. Ben.
May I ask, O great Carbon One, how you intend to get to your mysterious destination? Or has it slipped your CPU that you've destroyed 2 vehicles in the past day?
I've got that covered. Literally.
What do you mean by... Oh, no.
I walked into my garage like a kid out of bed on a holiday morning. Even though the object of my affection was carefully covered beneath a silk cloth, I couldn't help but smile at the sight of its majestic silhouetted form.
Oh, no.
I pulled the cover away with a theatrical flourish to reveal the true jewel of my antique collection, a cherry red 1968 Ford Mustang convertible in mint condition, metal and chrome gleaming in the somewhat sterile light of the halogen fixtures overhead.
Please, anything but this. The vehicle is 89 years old. It's never been weapon-proofed. It needs expensive and highly polluting gasoline, the sale of which, I will remind you, has been outlawed for 10 years. And above all else, it doesn't even have a computer.
Exactly. It's perfect. I smiled as I felt the steady throb of the powerful machine around me.
You know, of course, that your love for this car is simply your subconscious way of hiding your personal inadequacies.
Log off, Harv. You're killing the moment. We leapt onto the road. Harv holographically materialized from my eyelids and sat in the passenger seat next to me as we drove.
I thought you were trying to keep a low profile. This car is as inconspicuous as I would be at an abacus convention.
My low profile was blown the nano BB told the media that she and I were lovers. And with the bad luck that we've had with computer-controlled vehicles recently, I figure this is the safest way to travel. Harv holographically generated a seatbelt and made a big show of buckling it around himself.
Then gates help us all. Now where exactly are we going?
To the Pierce house.
Which is located?
I don't know.
But you said...
I stretched the truth a bit for the sake of drama.
So you have no idea where to find Dr. Pierce or his mother?
I didn't say that. I don't know where they are, but I know how we can find them.
Please, just tell me what question you would like me to ask in order to bring this interrogation to an end.
The list of physicists that we put together. What was wrong with it?
You mean other than the fact that it didn't include Sir Isaac Newton?
Well, yeah. I mean, no. You notice that?
A child would have noticed it. But what does that have to do with Mrs. Pierce's location?
Scan the New Frisco directory. Give me the address of April Newton.
That's the extent of your epiphany? He changed her name to Newton?
Look, he left Newton off the list for a reason. He's not gonna just set up with a clone of his dead mother under the same name. Why not use Newton? Just humor me and run the name.
I just did. There's no match.
None?
None.
Well, what about the suburbs? Do the whole area?
I did. There's nothing.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I'm a supercomputer.
Try New LA.
Done. Nothing.
What about New Fresno?
Perhaps you would like me to check New Sri Lanka as well?
There's no April Newton in all of New Frisco or New LA?
Oddly, you've probably chosen the one name where that's true. There are, for instance, 4 Albert Einsteins, 2 Stephen Hawkings, and 1 Enrico Fermi in the greater New Frisco area. There are even 3 people under the name of B.B. Starr, one of which is...
B.B. Starr. That's it.
That's what?
Nova said that Pierce was in love with B.B. Starr.
You think Pierce and his mother are using the cover name B.B. Starr?
Check for April Newton in the directory for Oakland.
Oakland?
B.B. was born in Oakland.
That's a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
I know a thing or two about unrequited love, Harv. This is well within the realm of possibility. Scan for Oakland.
Done. Nothing for April Newton.
Crap.
It pains me somewhat, however, to report that there is a May Newton listed in Oakland.
May Newton? April's natural successor?
She moved into a 2-bedroom residence on Avenue A roughly 13 months ago.
Bingo!
I really wish you would stop saying that.
And you doubted my logic.
Oh yes, jobs forbid I should ever doubt you when it comes to unrequited love and its related psychoses. I assume then that we're going to Oakland?
You got that right, pal.
Will you at least keep the top up during the trip?
Not a chance. I stabbed the button for the retractable top.
Of course not.